Welcome to Currently. I'm Carissa, here with my sister Julia.
That's me.
And my brother David.
Hello.
And this is a podcast about what we think about what's going on now. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Currently. I'm just going to talk about some current events that have happened this week, and I think we're going to have to start with the tornado.
Yeah. I mean, we do live here.
Yeah.
It's national news.
We started, what day was that on? It was,
I think it hit Monday night.
It was at the beginning of the week.
Yes.
It basically started the week off with
Sunday
the tornado.
Sunday into Monday. I remember I had no idea it was so bad, and I was sleeping, and I got a text that kind of woke me up, and it was from David saying, "Hey, I'm safe. You know, I figure you guys are all sleeping, but let me know when you wake up." And I was like, oh my gosh, what is he even talking about? It is raining hard. I went back to sleep. And I had no idea that it was like, oh, a tornado just came through Nashville.
Yeah, I never put tornado in that text, apparently.
No. And I had seen a AccuWeather alert that said there was a tornado watch, but it didn't say that there was anything touching down or anything like that. And we did have thunderstorms out here. We had some thunder and lightning, and I was listening to some of that, but I didn't realize that there had actually been tornado touchdown. Mm-hmm. But we don't have sirens or anything like that in Hendersonville. So
yeah,
did you guys have sirens?
Oh, I'm sure we did. I was fast asleep.
Oh, okay.
Like, I snoozed through the whole thing. Uh-huh. I missed it all. I woke up to a tech. Well, I woke up and to the power being off.
Oh, okay.
And you know how you can tell? It's weird. You
yeah.
wake up and it's supposed to be dark, but it's just too quiet.
All the LED and it's silent.
Yes, and too still.
There's
not even like a buzz.
There's so much white noise in our regular lives that the absence is kind of obvious.
That. And so it took a second for my brain to go, is this power off? What? But that's not unusual for my house if it's raining. If we get a lot of rain for some reason, I'm not sure where the power station is, but
right.
we know that there's a good chance that our power might go out. So I thought it was that. But then I checked my phone, and there was a message that said from a friend that said, "Hey, wake up, tornado."
Oh.
And I was like, "Oh dear, what's this?" You know. And it was from 2 hours before, and so I was like, "Oh, I didn't get tornadoed. I don't
uh-huh.
think." You know, because I sleep
oh
deep in my house. You know,
yeah.
I'm downstairs, almost in the basement, and so I started looking online and seeing
uh-huh.
all of these pictures and posts from people.
Yeah.
You know, almost as it was happening, just a little after it happened, but yeah, it's crazy.
You were a lot closer to it than we were.
Much.
We had thunderstorms, but
it was quite the thunderstorm.
It really was, but
we yeah.
didn't have a tornado touchdown, and there really wasn't any residual damage the next day here. Mostly I was really surprised to see how much had actually happened in Nashville, and I think the next day we were all sort of consumed with getting information about it.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you figure out how close it had come to you?
Actually, it took me a few days to know really how close it came. I knew, because I'm for the listeners out there, I live, my address is technically Nashville, but I live in, basically in a city called Donelson, which is, you know, Nashville adjacent. And I knew that a tornado had hit East Nashville
mm-hmm.
and North Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then it continued on, you know, like Hermitage and further. But I didn't realize it landed in Donelson also.
Oh my god.
Yeah, just like, you know, maybe a mile away,
uh-huh.
you know, from me.
Uh-huh.
Or possibly less as the crow flies, I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
But basically just past McGavick.
Okay.
There was just destroyed, wrecked. You know, houses leveled, trees upside down.
There's been a lot of damage. There's been whole buildings, like...
A lot of historical buildings.
Oh.
Yeah, really? And a lot of like... well-run, well-successful mom-and-pop's places, you know.
Did
venues.
The Hermitage get hurt at all?
I mean... No, not that area.
I'm talking like it's a... Did the Hermitage get hurt? I mean, but, like, damage, any damage?
No, fair question.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it hit anywhere really downtown. I think
okay.
it was more East Nashville got some really bad hits. The Basement East is leveled.
Uh-huh.
And,
what about your place of employment? Did they get...
No, it's further away.
Further away.
Yeah, 8th Avenue. So that's safe.
Uh-huh.
No damage done there.
So, wow.
But as of this recording, I still don't have power.
Yeah, so this has been almost a full week.
Yeah.
Because it was last Monday and this is Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. I'm not... I consider myself lucky, you know, because of the extent of damage that's been done to other areas and other people and such, you know.
Yeah, I think anyone in that area that is walking around to even assess anything is pretty lucky. But the thing that's so interesting about Tennessee, and I'm a transplant, we're all transplants here from California, but we've lived here for a couple of decades now, and it feels... Like, this is where you actually see Tennesseans at their best.
Absolutely.
When these crises happen. The day that the day after the tornado had hit, or the day of all the aftermath, happened to be on Super Tuesday for the Democratic primary election, and that probably would have been the top story in Tennessee, even though Tennessee generally votes Republican, but it still would have been like a story. But instead, the story was all about the tornado, and at a time when it could have been a very divisive day for a lot of people, even within the Democratic Party, it was a day instead where everybody came together to help each other put together the town, the city.
I think that's a really good point. That's a really, really good observation. Because it would have been a pretty divisive day.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, you know, Tennessee tends to lean red. But I guarantee you that the majority of the pickup trucks and chainsaws and bottles of water and cases of food and blankets were being brought by people that do not vote blue, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
and
And it's just like our neighbors are in need, and everybody says, hey, this is where they're the volunteer state, and this is where where they shine.
And at that point, like, a divide, that's irrelevant.
Yes.
Like, a political divide is irrelevant. It's about, like...
It humanizes everybody.
Yeah.
Big time. Big time. And the turnout's been huge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the numbers, but... There is just a huge response in all areas of volunteers, and I'm in a couple of Facebook groups, you know, of neighborhood groups and such, and they are just full of people saying, how can I help? Where can I help? I have a truck. Hey, I get off at 4. I have a chainsaw.
Right.
You know, I've got a group of 12 people. We're looking for someone to help. Who needs us the most?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it north? Is it east? Is it Mount Juliet? You know, who needs the help? So
that's amazing. I work in a grocery store, and we were getting so wiped out on necessities, and so much of it, it's at an odd time because it's a time where there's this like low-key coronavirus like panic. But what that collided with at our store was trying to help people that are in Nashville. So like,
gosh,
people were wiping out, like there were no hot dog buns to be found and hamburger buns because there were people buying them up, going down to Nashville, setting up cookouts
right,
and
volunteer.
Cooking for people
yes.
who have
yeah.
no power, who can't
yes.
eat, things like that.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Yeah, really, really nice. Nice stuff, but yeah.
So, like, at first you would think that all the shelves were being wiped out of hand sanitizer, which I'm sure
they have
been hit pretty hard.
Yeah.
But it's not just hand sanitizer. Really, everybody's, like, wiping it out with stuff where they can help other people.
Yes, and a lot of the cleaning,
you're saying
products,
a lot of cleaning products.
I mean, yeah, it's for just, and various food, bulk food items and things like that they're bringing out to Nashville. So
we definitely have a different experience maybe this week of a lot of people. Because, okay, so speaking of coronavirus, there's a lot of that. That's about, the narrative's been shifting a little here and there. I mean, it's been, I don't know, have you guys felt as though it kind of started out like we should pay attention, but it might not be too big a deal, or maybe we should pay attention, but it's over there, and now all of a sudden it feels like we're getting a little more inundated with information, kind of like, hey, you guys, you're not panicking enough about this. We want to give you a little more incentive to get freaked out.
I think it can't decide. I think that, you know, whatever it is, the media, I
the
guess,
powers
or,
that be,
or
the media,
powers
that
be, whatever the direction we're being pushed in, you know, how we should respond to things.
Uh-huh.
I think it, because we get the same message all the time, you know, wash your hands, don't panic, but panic.
Right.
You know, yes. That's basically what we get.
Yeah.
Don't buy all the masks, because, uh-huh. you know, you don't need that, really, currently.
Right. Right.
But at the same time, take this very, very seriously and don't leave your house.
Well, so yeah, they're like, so stop everything and don't be around people. And I mean, washing your hands, don't touch your face,
right.
because you're going to give yourself coronavirus if you have it on your hands. Or
I felt like people were not immediately panicking. Like everyone said, this is interesting. I'll keep my eye on it. Mm. Let me make sure I buy some extra hand soap because maybe I should be washing them more often. And it kind of seems like the media was like, no, wait, you're not giving this. Don't panic, everyone. Stop panicking. And people weren't panicking.
Right.
And they kept saying, stop panicking, so that you go, are people panicking? Should I be panicking?
I don't
Why is everybody panicking?
Yeah.
You know? Or, yeah, mm-hmm. I think everybody's kind of, I think in reality, because I've gone out a few times since they've been kind of upping this urgency. And here, it's mostly been business as usual, except for kind of like you said, people are buying up stuff to help with the tornado cleanup. Mm-hmm. And I've been hearing people, when I go into a grocery store, I'm hearing customers talking to employees, asking them stuff about mostly the tornado stuff.
Yeah.
And very much less than asking about coronavirus or things mm-hmm. like that. Although I have noticed that some of the clerks at the self-checkouts are wiping down the kiosks in between each customer and things like that. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Which, yeah, you know.
I think that's a positive thing.
Yeah. But I haven't really seen, I still haven't seen anyone actually wearing masks out in public while they're shopping.
I saw two people. I went to Dunkin' Donuts the other
morning,
which sells donuts, by the way. I actually forgot that because they've done so well advertising coffee.
Right.
And I was like, oh yeah, they have donuts. I don't go there often, obviously, but but yeah, there were two workers there.
Okay.
Workers were wearing masks. I think one of them had a medicinal mask on,
uh-huh.
but the other one, I think it was originally like a beard mask.
Oh, right.
For sanitation purposes.
Right.
But
right.
I think they kind of
rigged it into a
makeshift face mask of sorts. Speaking of masks, I've heard that masks are more for keeping things in than
yes.
preventing things from entering.
I've heard that too. I've been seeing that.
Which
too.
In a way makes sense
it
for
does.
The person making your coffee or donuts to wear it because, you know, you're being sure that they're not accidentally contaminating
yeah.
food or something like that. But
that's not the perspective
I think a lot of people.
Yeah. You can wear a mask because you're not trying to catch something.
Wearing it
right.
And it's really you're wearing a mask so in case you have something, you're not giving it to somebody else.
And
then
we're also like, we're running out of masks like at the store everywhere, every department, because
mm-hmm.
we'll have them for like if you're leaf blowing and also if
yeah.
you're painting and also medicinal. And the others don't work. Like, medicinal masks, or the other ones aren't really good for
right.
these kind of things. Yet we're completely out of them. So people are like, any mask possible. Like,
as long as it's elastic and covers my face.
I
yeah.
guess you
yeah.
could just do, like, the cowboys and just put a bandana around your mouth at this
hey,
point.
Hey, you know, actually.
I don't see there being much of a difference, yeah.
That could become a trend.
Yeah.
A new fashion trend.
Fashion trend, for sure.
On.
With the right hashtag, anything is possible.
Yes.
Hashtag
like bandana
yeah.
life. So, well, just in case anybody hasn't heard these tips, wash your hands, don't touch your face, and clean.
Mm-hmm.
You want to clean all your surfaces and keep everything, just have everything cleaned up.
Avoid crowds if possible.
Yeah, social distancing. That's the other.
Right.
That's the one. They're saying something about like 6 inches or feet? Yes. 6 inches.
No, feet.
Feet, six, yeah, six feet. Feet. 6 feet between you. So, like, the size of a average height, full-grown man between you.
Laying down.
Laying down between you and anyone yes. you're near. I'm not sure how practical that tip is. It depends on what you're doing, I suppose.
It makes sense.
It makes sense.
But practicality, I don't right. know.
Can you
yeah,
see somebody yeah. standing in a grocery line and keeping 6 feet between them? No. People are going to
yeah.
move in and think that they're merging on the highway. Yeah,
exactly. I don't think that's not going to happen. It's not practical.
I think that's one of the issues that people are worried about. I think that's behind some of the decisions to cancel some of these events. That and liability between forcing employees to fly to places. And this also the simple fact that people are canceling. Mm-hmm. So then someone like South by Southwest, if like half of their attendees that are giving speeches or holding seminars are canceling, then the people that actually paid money to come hear them talk mm-hmm. are not really getting their money's worth. So it becomes this whole thing where if half of them aren't showing up, they might as well cancel it, because otherwise, you know.
Very true.
But I was surprised to see that South by Southwest had chosen to cancel, because the United States currently still does not have a whole lot of cases.
I think there's just like, is it one in Tennessee?
There's two now.
Yeah. Okay.
Are they in the same area?
One's in Nashville now.
Okay.
And the other one was Williamson County.
Okay. So.
And one in Memphis was.
Okay, so
as well.
Three so in three. Tennessee
Last
is
read,
the
there
state.
Was three in Tennessee.
And
it's jumping up and up and up.
Like, it is.
It's going to hit wherever
well,
you are. you know, it's going to arrive.
The thing about it, though, because in the United States right now, Washington State is kind of the hotbed that has the most cases that are known.
Yeah.
But they're saying that they think a lot of those people have already had it for like several weeks. So a lot of these areas, they may not.
It could be there.
It could be there. It could already be there.
I think that's what they're saying. We should that's probably true. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not even like could be. It probably is. You know, it's probably everywhere.
Is.
Uh-huh. And we're just now noticing it, so we're starting to notice its places, mm-hmm. you know, and so we have to do testing on people to see if they have it or not. So
but they don't have the tests.
It's not like you just fall over and go, I have coronavirus, you know, you have to.
Right. Well, and they don't have the tests to do it. I mean, and a lot of people were getting nervous, or they were getting kind of scared, because it looked like the death rates were very high compared to, say, the flu.
Mm-hmm.
However, they have very few people tested, and I'm thinking that, yes, out of the people you've tested, the death rates are high, but most people aren't going and getting checked unless they're already very, 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 very sick.
Exactly.
So then
it's
your death rates, it's kind of a skewed, I think so. Not to say not to take it seriously, because it clearly is, you know, making itself known, but I do think that those statistics aren't really accurate right now, because we just don't even know how many people have it, and most of these medical facilities don't even have testing kits for it. They can't even, and a lot of them have already said they're not gonna test anymore.
Have they?
Yeah, in Washington they weren't gonna test anymore.
I think they should.
Because now they already said they all have it.
Oh, really? Wow.
Well, so. Heck. We'll see
or that they probably have it.
They'll probably
test if someone comes in.
Yeah, and I think if it's something new, I think like in the area that they had it, that it was happening, they were just already assuming everybody had been exposed.
Oh, okay, they're just going to say it's here.
Yeah, they were calling it. And so I know that Los Angeles declared a state of emergency, and now so has New York City. Even though both of them have very few confirmed cases right now. So they've declared that state of emergency without a lot of cases.
Probably smart on New York's part, for sure.
For New York, I would definitely understand.
It's such a sardine can.
Yeah, and LA too. I mean, and New York, public transportation, like the subway.
I would not.
And it's international. It's international. Yeah. They still have flights coming in from everywhere. Yeah.
I don't want to touch the subways on a regular day in New York. So I can't imagine now it's probably a lot more scary.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Wash your hands. Don't touch your face.
Yeah, treat it seriously, but I'm still not in panic mode. But yeah, take it seriously, I think.
Well, you know me. I'm all about, like, the manifesting the reality that you want to be. So I'm really... It's not about denial of what is, but it's about focusing on what you're actually wanting and not what you don't want. So I'm just focusing on health and vitality.
There you go.
Know?
I like it. I like
just
it.
Focusing on, you know, washing my hands as instructed, since that's the main directive.
Yes.
But washing the hands and then eating those things that are supposed to really, you know, create extra health in you.
The berries, the leafy greens,
blueberries and kale and salmon and, you know.
Salmon's tasty. I like salmon.
Yeah. I think all of it's pretty tasty. So that's the stuff. You should just start fueling up on the nutrients. Just get enough sleep. Get plenty of sleep. Let your body repair itself every night so that hopefully if the coronavirus does come, which we should be calling it COVID-19 since
that's what it actually
coronavirus is kind of more a general umbrella term, but yeah, so
yeah, self-care.
Self-care, yeah. Because then hopefully your body will just fight it off like they're saying most people's are, and it is people with compromised immune systems and people that are much older that are actually getting hit really hard with it. Everybody else seems to be sort of, you know, getting
through it.
Yeah.
I could see this becoming a bigger concern in Tennessee after we get through this tornado stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that the impact and devastation of the tornadoes are visible.
And
people know
it's
people,
right now.
You know, it's like
it's very
your
immediate.
Neighbor, you know, hopefully not you yourself, but it could be you yourself, you know, are experiencing this versus, you know, I've heard about the coronavirus. I drove down a road that had no houses left.
Right.
You know,
so obviously your attention is going to go towards, wow, this is my neighborhood and these are people I know and these are
more impacted by the road.
Yeah. It's very visual and it's very imminent. It's present.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It
made me, curiously enough, it made me think back to my first disaster. I mean, we're through two now. First disaster was in California. It was the 89 Great Quake of 89.
The Great Quake of 89.
Yeah.
During the Bay Bridge series, the two...
The World Series, yeah.
Yes, it was
Battle
the World
of the Bay.
Series.
Battle of the Bay.
Two Bay Area teams.
Yep.
A's versus the Giants, I remember
Mark
McGuire,
baby.
Yeah.
I remember that. So, because we come from earthquake weather, earthquake seasons.
That's
like,
what you worry about over there is quakes.
And when we went to school and we were kids, like we had drills for earthquake prepared, you get under the desk and all that. Like when I first moved to Tennessee, the tornadoes scared me to death.
Yeah.
Like because I didn't grow up with those at all.
What the hell is a tornado?
Yeah.
To get out of here.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
that's like something
Wizard
from
of
a
Oz.
Movie. That's the Wizard of Oz. It's not real life, but it is very, very much real life here. But I remember that quake. I remember when that quake hit. I remember being in...
You and I were together. Yes. And we were at Grandma's house.
Yes, which was our house too.
We were living there. And
on Barrett?
On Barrett. And we were in the living room.
Yeah, I remember thinking, like, there was almost, like, a boom.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, because our house was located,
on
a busy street.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, my gosh, a car just drove
or
off.
A truck.
And ran into the
house.
Like, that was my thought.
Dang.
Mine
felt
too.
This shake.
Yeah,
and this,
bang.
Heard
it felt
this bang
like,
almost.
Yeah, it felt like a boom. And you felt it, like an impact.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it was several seconds of swaying before we went, earthquake, and, like...
Yeah.
Literally went into a doorway.
Yeah. It was really weird because the earthquake that we were in did the tremble, and then it started to undulate like water. And it was kind of like,
I remember that.
It rolled.
Yeah.
And it was like, I mean, we'd felt little quakes before where you just kind of have that tiny little shake.
Oh, yeah, that's called Tuesday in California.
and you don't really think about them. But that was my first, like, lasting for
whoa. Yeah.
You know, felt like it lasted forever, and it was probably less than a minute. I don't know. But it felt so long.
I remember I was young, for one. I was really young. But I was at... I'll say this weird for the listeners. No, actually, it'll make sense to the listeners. It'll be weird to you.
Uh-huh.
The way that I'm going to say this. But I was at my cousin's Nana's house, which was being house sat by my grandmother. Which you follow now.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
But,
I don't remember that now.
Because after school, I was in middle school, and that was closer. I could walk there. Uh-huh. Closer than walking to Grandma's house, which is where we're staying.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I was walking through the kitchen area. It went from, like, dining room to kitchen in one straight line to, like, back door. And I was walking, for some reason, towards the back door, kind of. And like you said, I felt the trembles.
The trembles.
You know? And for my brain, the trembles... My first thought was that there were an incredible amount of squirrels under the house.
David!
Being squirrels. I don't know. That's just what the first thought was.
Oh my god.
Was that there was just like, you know, hundreds of them rolling with nuts or something under the house. Obviously, it eventually landed in my brain that was silly.
Oh my goodness.
And it was when the roll hit that you're talking about. That's when I went, oh, snap, earthquake.
Yeah.
You know? And so I scrambled back and under a table and assumed the position like we learned in school. You know?
Yeah.
So thanks, school.
Yeah.
And like you said, Julie, it felt like it lasted forever. But eventually it stopped. And I was like, okay, that was an earthquake, definitely. And then I hit panic button because Grandma, where is she? Oh, you know? And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, Grandma! And so she was sleeping in the bedroom in there. And so I went to run inside. And she hadn't gotten up. She was laying on her back. And if you remember, she was kind of round. So
right.
So Ellie was up, you know?
Right.
And she was just laughing. She was like, I think we just had an earthquake, David. I was like, oh, you're okay, yeah. Oh, gosh, we sure did.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Oh, man.
That's one of those moments that you remember.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I think we got in the doorway.
We did. We got into a doorway.
Do you know they have tornado drills out here? Like, we had earthquake drills growing up?
They probably do.
I wonder what they are.
I don't know.
I guess going to a doorway.
Probably everybody getting up and moving to the tornado safety zone, I would imagine.
Something without windows and, a safe place.
They probably have a designated... tornado place.
Which is one of those things they don't seem to think about when they are creating apartment dwellings.
Yeah.
Like, we live on the second floor, and so already there's no, like, basement, there's no, like, place where everyone in the complex can go. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can knock on your neighbor's door downstairs, they may or may not be home, they may or may not let you in, you know, and even then, I guess,
and
into their bathtub.
In the bathtub already.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's not really a very good contingency plan for apartment dwellers out here.
No, I think...
pretty interesting.
Yeah, maybe that's... I guess jump in the tub and hope.
Yeah, that's kind of what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a centralized area. More than like a wall, you know, edged area.
Yeah. And our, the tub in our apartment does go towards the inside, so. But.
That would be the spot.
That would be the spot. You're still on the second floor. And if they really want to take the top, if they really want to hit this building, like, the whole thing could just.
Yeah. So there's no underground place to.
That's scary.
You're a little exposed in a way.
Yeah. I'm super duper safe. I'm in the closet of my downstairs room. I sleep in my closet. I've converted it. And so there's that. That's where I would be anyway.
Right.
You know, that's where I run to. So
that's a great place, especially since you are such a hard sleeper.
Yeah.
And nobody, even an alarm or a siren, isn't going to wake you up or anything. Probably or tornado itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So luckily, you're in a safe little nook.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah. So. Yeah. So that's kind of been.
The week.
That's kind of been the week. It's kind of been.
Kind of a week of disaster, but a week of, you know, kind of showing what can be done also.
Yeah.
When
some solidarity.
Yeah.
There's still hope in humanity yet.
Big time.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this week.
All right.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, like, subscribe, and all the other things that you do on the internets when you like stuff.
And we'll see you next week.